You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to comedian Jessie Mae Peluso. My favorite part of her interview was her talking about the impact and influence Joan Rivers had in comedy. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. Stuck on the humidifier. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome for the first time on the podcast, comedian Jessie Mae Peluso.
I don't know when I could clap.
Was that odd?
Everything is odd. Not just you. Life is odd. Existence is odder than this apartment. I'm impressed with how much you did with such a little space.
I love where you're starting. I like the starting point. Break down my apartment. What did you notice?
You told me to make fun of it.
Yeah, I wanted you to make fun of it. The last person that made fun of it was Eric Griffin, and people love it when he does that. So go ahead. Well, I can take it. Don't hold back.
It feels like clean chaos. You obviously are neat. You're a neat person, but there's shit everywhere, but in a neat way.
Give me an example.
Like this stack is a neatly stacked. It's a chaotic stack of a mess.
Since the camera's not pointed, describe what you're looking at right
now.
I
wish I could.
Go ahead.
You describe what I'm looking at. It's your shit.
There's a lot of notebooks.
It looks like a man just got divorced and shoved it all in the fireplace. And the saddest part is you can't even set it on fire.
Keep going. 10 other things.
You know, I don't even, to me it feels like a child's bedroom.
Keep going.
No, but I don't think it's bad. Like,
jab
I think,
to the chin. Keep
I think
going.
It's sweet. I okay. feel it feels very like it, you're obviously a boy. Like if I walked here and a girl walked in, I'd be like, girl, you in danger.
Okay.
I would turn into Whoopi Goldberg from Ghost. I'd be like, you in danger.
Damn, good movie.
Great movie.
Damn, good
Great
movie.
Great movie.
What do you think about my bedding?
I'm going to guess there's not a lot of penetration that happens there.
Dude, you're killing me. Keep going. What's a dead giveaway? What is the dead giveaway? Explain what's on top of the sheets.
I can't. Oh, it's a fucking weighted blanket.
No.
It's not?
It's a two-person sleeping bag.
That you've unfolded so one person can sleep
so one person
it.
Yeah,
it's so sad.
I like the material.
Wow.
Keep going.
I threw up inside of my strawberry shortcake sleeping bag and I tried to wash it and my sister threw me under the bus. That bitch.
Really?
She told my mom I vomited in it and I called her a hater.
Oh my goodness,
such a hater.
So is this a man cave?
It's a boy who's dreaming of being a man cave.
The truth is hurting me.
Are you an artist? Do you draw?
Yeah, I do. From time to time, I do draw.
I think you're just a real creative person whose brain is apparent.
There's too much going on.
No, I don't think there's too much going on at all.
No,
I
you
think
brought
it's
your assistant.
Cool.
Can I give her a shout out?
Yeah,
off,
Debbie
off camera?
D. Roses.
So, Debbie D. Roses, do you agree with all the things she said about the apartment thus far?
Yes.
Okay.
Debbie agrees, and she tells
you. Can I ask Debbie three noticeable things? I'm just gonna bring the mic to you real quick, and then what did you notice?
Oh, she'll tell you.
The piano.
Oh, that's right. There's a fucking piano, Deb.
There's a lot of stickers. It looks like you were at the roller skating rink a lot. And the troll doll, which I would not want to wake up and see in the morning.
That's enough from you. That's
enough. She noticed shit. Hold I up. Didn't even notice.
That troll has a name. His name is Cole.
Cole the troll?
Yeah.
Wow.
For your information. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is it weird that I have weird stuff on the piano? Because there's some knickknacks on there.
Well, I don't know if I'd call your dead dad a knickknack. We might want to get into that another episode.
Yeah. Is your folks still alive?
Hell no. They're all dead. Oh. Everyone's dead.
So are you
an orphan too?
No. What do you mean by orphan?
Like, are both your parents gone?
No, my mom's a survivor.
Oh, humble brag.
Let's get down to your trajectory, because you've made it real far. I saw you on the marquee at the freaking Laugh Factory. Your thing was on the side of the building. Your name.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I like when I see that too.
So
that's exciting.
Let's go backtrack.
Ask whatever you want
to
ask.
What led to, because that's the, you're at, up there now, like up here now. Where did you start off?
Rape.
All right, timestamp that. Timestamp that. We can't. There's YouTube. See,
that's YouTube. The equivalent of me going clip it. I say in my other podcast, I go clip it. And you said timestamp, which is just a technical term for clip it.
Okay, so where are you originally from?
I'm from upstate New York, Syracuse. Really? Yeah, do you know where that is?
No, I don't know much. I don't know much about the East Coast. I like it. It's cold.
Yes.
And I love it. But it's a different way of life there. People are different there, right?
They are very different. The weather really determines and dictates the attitude, I think.
So give me an example of that.
Well, there's a lot of snow. There's a lot of winter. So people are a little bit more, you know, like that New York rigidness.
Yeah.
That New York attitude.
They speak their mind there?
They speak their mind.
Peanuts,
and that's what I love it.
Peanuts. That's one thing I noticed. Peanuts. Peanuts here. Peanuts.
It's a baseball game.
Yeah, okay, I don't know.
That's a baseball game.
They do their
Are
thing.
You a Make-A-Wish child? Did you just go to baseball games and...
Write that down, the Make-A-Wish comment. write that down.
What's she going to do with the
don't
fucking...
Don't worry, that's my assistant.
Where's it going to go?
She's time-stamping stuff.
I feel like you're time-stamping things you're going to try and cancel me
so
for.
What, nah, there's no
don't touch me.
Me.
Don't touch me ever.
What is a Make-A-Wish child?
Okay. A Make-A-Wish kid is one that's not going to make it.
Okay. I'm gonna die.
I don't want you to.
Why?
I don't want you to, but I will put you right on the the piano next to your dad.
Oh my god!
Is that too soon?
That is.
Is it all of him?
My brother has a portion of his ashes as well.
That's nice.
Yeah. Now, how did you meet my brother?
Well, we both knew of each other because of stand up. Every time I saw him at the Comedy Store, I just gravitated towards him because he's a magical creature. Your brother,
is he mythical to you?
He's mythical to me.
His body type too, as well.
Just his, how he moves his body, how he contorts his body, what he does with his wee wee. It's all mythical.
So he does that. He's showing it to other
people. Yeah, he's flipping it and flopping it and showing its dexterity, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah. And has he been nice to you?
No, he's a terrible person.
All right, so what, where is
no,
it
your at? Brother's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
We really got to talk when we both were at the Just for Last Festival.
In Montreal.
Yep, 2019.
And boy, was he waiting for that email. Because there's many years where he was not invited. So finally.
Wait, I thought you meant my podcast, but you meant Montreal.
Yeah, Montreal. Montreal.
That's why I was laughing.
Oh, since you brought it up, let's plug your podcast. Okay, the name of your podcast
is... I'm not trying to turn your fans on. I'm sweaty.
No, I want to plug your podcast.
Oh,
the name of your podcast is...
Something you should know, because you probably should have Googled me before I came into your 4x4 fucking house. The least you could do was use one of four computers you have. No, it's Sharp Tongue.
No, but is that the name of the podcast?
Yeah, that's one of them. I have
Sharp
three.
Tongue.
Yeah.
You have three podcasts? How do you manage to do that? I mean, that's a lot of work.
Oh, that's why Deb is in my life.
Debbie, do you edit and stuff?
She just started. She's just teaching herself how to do a whole
bunch
of stuff.
Are you on Adobe Premiere? Like, what's the situation like? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're learning?
She's great.
Okay, and
she's
so she's doing one or two of your podcasts.
Yeah, she does some. She helps with the clips.
Uh-huh.
I totally trust her to pick the funny parts or, like, poignant parts and every clip that she picks.
Right. Then do you have a co-host on one or two of them?
Yeah, and Sharp Tongue, I'll have guests. I'll have, like, doctors. Did you just do coke before we started?
No, I have boogers. Yeah, sorry. It's dry.
I have like people who interest me.
Okay. Now, did you start in New York?
Start podcasting?
Yeah. Where did that start?
I didn't actually. I started out here. I started the podcast out here. Sharp Tongue was shortly after I moved to LA because mm-hmm. that's what everyone was doing. Mm-hmm, and agents were like, just start a podcast.
Well, that's the thing now because they knew how relevant it was.
Everyone was doing it. And I think because Rogan was, you know, successful at it, that everybody was just, all their agents were telling their clients to do podcasts.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I don't really know what I want to talk about. I don't know what I want to call it. And I called it Sharp Tongue because when I used to do stand up.
Because you do have a sharp tongue.
I do have a sharp tongue.
And you were wearing, you know what? I'm putting it all together because you were wearing a Wu-Tang shirt the first time I met you. And they have sharp tongues as well. And you definitely have a sharp tongue.
I do.
You're like quick with it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I used to do stand up.
Yes.
And I would make my own flyers.
What do you mean? But
like
Kinko's?
Yeah, exactly. Like I would design them.
Good for
Thank you.
Yeah. I love the hustle.
On that hustle.
I love the hustle.
I would design it. And I would say, Sharp Tongue presents Jesse May Peluso. Meanwhile.
Oh, it's a production company.
Yeah, but it was just me.
But you came up with it.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, I want people to think I'm like, there's someone backing this.
Yeah.
I was 18. There's no one backing
it. You started back then?
Yeah. I've been doing stand up for 20 years.
What the hell?
I know. I should be way more famous.
Do you know about this? Do you remember your first mic? Like, what got you to
do
it?
Yeah, I do. I had my first stand up on video, all 5 minutes that I did.
Where? New York?
It was at the Cantab Lounge in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What made you even pursue that? What made you want to get up on stage and tell jokes?
An amalgamation of things. I think my dad and I always watched stand-up specials together.
Mm-hmm.
He was friends with local stand-up comedians in Syracuse, so I was, around them
mm-hmm,
personally. Mm-hmm. And from watching the specials, seeing what guys that my dad knew, seeing how they were making a career. What the fuck is that? What is that little juice? What the fuck is that? What is this?
It's a probiotic drink. It's not.
Oh my god! This is gonna make you cry out of your asshole. You drink this?
Well, my intern brought it as a gift,
it's probably nice.
But I have. Yeah,
it's
she brought,
probably nice. Yeah, I take it back. Yeah. It's
so
probably actually something
cheers,
really
once
nice.
Cheers! Once you get crack
I probably
that open,
won't
crack,
drink
it's
it.
A probiotic,
I'm sure
it's a probiotic.
Yep.
Crack it open.
I'm definitely
Let's
not
do
gonna.
Cheers
but you
to your career.
This unit. Cheers to your beautiful assistant.
Yes.
To my beautiful assistant.
Yes.
Us.
Yeah, cheers.
That we're so fucked up.
Yeah,
we need two people who aren't fucked up
yes.
to help us
okay,
organize our
you.
Fucked
yeah.
upness.
Do you like orange sherbet?
I sure do.
It it's like a creamsicle. Like
yeah,
an orange
but
creamsicle.
You know, everyone heard about Cosby, and I just don't trust everybody in this room.
Okay, what timestamp that as well? Thank you. So 18 years old, you're like, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
You were watching comedy.
Stand up.
Yes, and then you just said, Did you write down like an act?
I wrote down word for word my first stand up and
really?
Remembered all of it.
Really?
5 minutes word for word. It was so bad.
Oh my god.
It was so fucking bad.
But you're only 18 and you did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but it you know, but it's what you would expect an 18-year-old to be talking about.
Yeah, but most
about.
18-year-olds wouldn't have the courage to do that. They'd be
That's
too
a good
scared.
Point. That's a good
so
point.
So what was the response like?
It actually was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got that like you get the bug, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that feeling of love from the audience.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm funny. And I just thought it was going to be that way forever.
So there were.
I just thought it was always going to
so
be funny.
So there's.
Oh, fuck yeah.
There's ups and downs.
There's so many
Still
ups and downs.
Still to this day?
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought when you're at your level, every show's a home run.
No, it's challenging in a different way because the stakes are higher. Your standards are higher.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What you're talking about is heavier. So it's you get better at being a comedian, but it's still challenging. It's never really mastered.
No.
You know, and I think if something is mastered, then I don't know if we can consider that an art necessarily. I think
right.
the pursuit of constantly perfecting it is a part of the art of it all.
Because art's always changing.
Exactly.
It could
and
be
you're
one
an
painting. Yeah, it could be one painting and then you'd be like, oh, I like it, but I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could constantly be evolving, right?
Yes.
Is that
yes.
Same thing with your comedy?
Yes,
you're
absolutely.
You're like, so give me an example that you have like a bit of subject matter and you're like, oh, I'm going to add this tag. Is it like adding tags to
yeah,
your
it's
shit?
Adding tags. It's perfecting it. It's taking out shit that's unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause sometimes even though people laugh at it, if it's not adding to the story or if it's not something, for me anyways, it's somewhat poignant,
mm-hmm.
and I just fucking get rid of it.
Right.
Are you an alcoholic?
Yeah, I'm recovering.
I just saw the AA book over your shoulder.
We'll just timestamp that too because it's like we're not supposed to talk about that on YouTube.
We're not?
No, I'm just kidding. It's fine.
God, I was like,
14 years. 14 years. 14 years.
Congratulations. Is that what people say? You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah,
I don't know what to say.
Well, you know, since you brought it up,
yeah.
If I was not sober, I wouldn't be able to even do this or any of the other stuff I'm doing, like with Scissor Bros, because I wouldn't show up for it. I wouldn't show up for it.
You seem you're really doing well, though. Like, you seem...
Yes and no. I mean,
you're like, I'm struggling.
No, I am, but I'm not. I mean, look, I used to work at a sandwich shop down the street, Fat Sal's. So,
How long ago?
This was, 2013.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then... I've worked in every kind of bad job. I worked at P.F. Chang's, Coffee Bean, Jamba Juice.
Oh, you've done the service industry.
Yeah, IHOP, Graveyard Shift.
Oh, my gosh.
I did. I mean, you name it, I've been there. I've washed dishes. I've done the mozzarella stick fryer.
Did you ever jerk off into someone's lunch?
No, I've never done that. Although I almost lost my fingernail because I was the shake guy. I was the milkshake guy at Fat Sal's. We had a rush and... And I put my finger on a bin because, you know, I was like trying to get the ice cream and then I was lifting up this ice cream bin, but it was frozen and my fingernail got stuck on the metal, the coping part.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. And then I'm like, you know, Zane Hedberg, Zane was my boss. He's a comedian. So shout out to Zane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Zane. He hired me. And so I was like, Zane, I was so scared.
Oh, you were hurt.
Well, I could have lost my fingernail.
Oh, someone could have had that in their.
Oh, that could have. There could have been a liability thing.
Yeah, that could have been a very expensive fingernail. Can we timestamp that?
Now this is a perfect time. A word from our sponsor.
The Stevie Weeby Show is sponsored by Manscaped. I use this for my nose hairs. I use this for my nut hairs. Get 20% off and free shipping with code STEVIE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with code STEVIE. STEEBEE. It's time to throw out your old hygiene and upgrade your life.
Yum.
And we're back. So going back to service jobs, did you ever work anything like that?
I was a bartender for seven, eight years. I consider that service.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this is while you're doing comedy as well.
Yes, in New York.
How long were you out in New York for?
I was in New York for about 10 years. That's where I started. Well, actually, no, I take it back. I started in Massachusetts. I really cut my teeth in New York.
Now, do you grow thicker skin? I heard East Coast is just like boom. Like you hit up like 5 mics a night or something.
Yeah, I mean, you can hit up 10 if you start early enough.
So that's what you're doing?
I was doing a lot, definitely.
How do you find these mics? Is it just word
of
mouth?
There's McDougal Street. Like back in the day... McDougal Street, I mean, even like in the 60s was like a hopping place for a lot of musicians. Bob Dylan used to hang out down there and it became sort of like the comedy mecca in New York. But, you know, comedians would run their own rooms. Like we'd find a bar that had a cool venue and just make a deal with the owner. I did that a few times.
Bringer shows. Yep. And that's you make your own flyers.
Yeah, you make your own flyers. You go out in the street. You literally pull people in and you pull people in until you have 5's a show. As far as I'm considered, we got 5 hoes. We're ready to go.
That's a show?
5's a show.
Why 5?
Because if 2 leave, like a couple, there's still 3 left. And it's a little bit harder to leave when there's only 3 people, so they stay out of guilt.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's
so
a guilt
game. So 5
is
all you need for a show. 5's
all you need. But, you know, you would start with that, and it would start to grow. And I got to the point where I had a kid working for me because he wanted stage time. And so I'd be like, okay, cool. I'm going to give
you
stage
minions?
Time.
You
yeah,
had your foot soldiers?
Yes.
So you would say, hey, Chucky, pass out these flyers at Union Square, whatever.
Chris. His name was Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Chris Coppo.
Pass out these flyers. You got to earn your stripes.
Yeah. And he actually would come up to you like, hey, I'll help if I can get stage time.
That's all they want.
That's all they wanted.
That's golden.
Yes, stage time is everything. Stage time is a commodity in New York City.
Is it harder
even
to
out
get,
here?
Is it hard to get stage time out here?
Well, it's harder out here because of the logistics of the living situation. You have to drive everywhere. You have to consider the drive time. In New York, you could hit up like
ride the train
all around.
And then you just
in L.A.?
No, in New York, you have the train.
Oh, yeah, you hop on the train. You can be all over across town. It was so easy to traverse it. Here, it's difficult. Like, it's driving.
Hard. Yeah.
I parked. I stepped in, like, stepped in ketchup. I tripped over a woman.
We're just coming here?
Yeah, there was a raccoon. There was human poop. Like,
okay, let's not disclose what street it is, but it's somewhere around here, okay? And everything you said was true. There is a raccoon family.
There's a very adorable raccoon
family. Two raccoon
family.
Families.
Just two doors down.
I'd open the door. I would wave to them. No, see, real talk. They would used to. Yeah, they used to be right there. On the other side of that wall in a
They're
shed.
So cute.
Yeah. So
you're the cutest
ketchup.
Neighbors.
So shout out to the raccoon
shout
family.
Shout out to the raccoon family. Shout out to the maybe human fecal matter that we had to, you know.
Yeah, poo's around here.
There's poo-poo. Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of poo-poo.
She's from the East Coast as well, Deb.
Yeah, Deb's from the East Coast.
Because she agreed with the public transit. She's mm-hmm. like, yeah, that's how it is. When did you decide to take it from New York to Los Angeles?
I was working with MTV.
You did?
Yeah, I did a show on
a
MTV.
Show?
Yep.
What show was it?
I love you know nothing about me. It's really, it's adorable. You're like, you've done a lot. What? I don't know anything you've done.
I should write down, what's the name of the show, the MTV show? just say it real quick.
just yeah, shut your mouth and say it real quick.
Yeah, what's the name?
It's called Girl Code.
So look up Girl Code, okay? It's probably on YouTube. Right?
It was just a stupid show. I mean, yeah,
it was
fun.
That's work.
It was awesome.
You auditioned for it?
I did.
How many auditions did you have to go to?
10 years of failing. That's how I auditioned.
For real?
Yeah, 10 years of failing, and that's all it took.
Did you have representation agent, like an
no.
agent? You did it all on your own?
Mm-hmm.
How did you manage to navigate through that?
Well, once I got MTV,
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so mm-hmm. you got the, and then the auditions were in New York.
The auditions were in New York. We filmed in New York for
you
2 years.
You booked it. How
yep.
many seasons?
We did 2 seasons, and then we were about to do a third. I wanted to renegotiate. I thought I was more worth more than they were willing to pay, and mm-hmm. so I went with E! Network because they wanted to do an overall deal with me.
E! Entertainment?
Yeah, E! Entertainment. Remember E! Entertainment?
Yes.
Remember Joan Rivers, live on the red carpet?
I bought her. I own her documentary.
It's so good.
Have you?
It's
great.
So good.
It's really informative.
A piece of work.
The one thing I admire about her is she's organized too.
Yeah, she is very
organized.
Do you
see the way she organized
her
all
jokes?
Of her, yeah, like the Rolodex of jokes.
And
do you admire her?
Like alphabetized.
Yeah. So would you want a career like Joan?
Yeah.
Rest in peace. Rest
Absolutely,
in peace.
Because if she was still alive, she'd still be working.
Right.
She made such a profound statement once. She was saying, I think it might have been on the documentary, I think some girl said that she, like, you know, opened the door for young female comics, and Joan was like, I'm still walking through the door.
Right.
Like, I'm still here.
And she still was doing it till the end of her life.
I
she
know.
She was doing casinos.
And quick.
Yeah.
She was so quick on stage. She was so sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And she did everything. She worked so fucking hard.
She's the OG of, like, would you say out of the female comedians, she's the OG?
I would say so.
Like, who else is there?
Because her career spanned decades.
She had her own talk show.
She had her own talk show. She was Johnny Carson's right-hand girl.
Yeah, but then they had a falling out. They had a falling out,
didn't
they?
Yeah, because she became successful.
She was a threat to him.
Yes. He didn't like the fact
that she had
her own
show.
Because they offered
her a
show. Mm-hmm, her own
show
with Fox.
I love watching that just from an outsider's point of view. I'm like, whoa, she did a lot.
Yeah, and in a time where women weren't necessarily thought of as people to have opinions and to speak in the way she did and to have the voice she had.
Lone wolf. Because
really
now
was.
It's very common for females
it's
to do comedy.
It's a dime a dozen!
Aren't there more female comics now? Like, when
there's
you
a
say,
ton.
A ton.
I think it's awesome.
But back then, in the 60s and 70s, there was what, maybe you could count them on one hand?
It was like Lily
maybe?
Tomlin, her, Phyllis Diller.
Keep going.
Mom's Mabley's from way back in the day.
So you know your history.
Well, I just, you know, there's only a few.
There's only a few.
Yeah. You probably know a lot more.
Who came after that? Who was like, after Joan and them, who was the
Kathy
next?
Kathy Griffin.
And she was the one that said that about Joan. Kathy Griffin.
Yes.
I remember that part in the documentary. She's like, you know, she gives her a lot of respect, right? So Kathy Griffin. And then what about Margaret Cho?
Margaret Cho, hell yeah.
You can't forget about Margaret Cho.
Asian, a lesbian.
You can't forget about Margaret.
You can't forget about Margaret. No, she was definitely a groundbreaking comedian.
She was sitting where, she's been in here.
Well, that's funny because I think that was the last time anyone saw her alive.
What are you talking about? You son of a gun.
She's been missing.
Timestamp that, too.
She's been missing.
Oh, my God.
Is that the smell coming from the fridge?
It might be in the cellar.
Margaret, hun! Cho!
You know what?
Cho, are you here?
No, it was a Korean thing. I showed her nothing but respect, okay? I showed her nothing but... That's a Korean thing. And you all know New York, right? The Italians. Mm-hmm. I've seen Goodfellas. I know about that shit.
It's a good movie.
Respect.
Respect.
Oh, you like Goodfellas?
It's one of my favorite Italian movies.
Okay, let's since you brought that up.
Do you like
what
cinema?
Are your top three then? So is that one of
top
them?
Top three Italian movies or movies in general?
Movies in general. Well, how about this? Top five one. Movies in general.
Oh, God. Okay, you give me your first so I know where
no
we're
Country
going.
No Country for Old Men.
Oh, that's a great choice.
I am already.
Coen Brothers. What a solid fucking choice.
Also like Fargo, though. That's a
are you throwing that in the top five, though?
No, but I like Fargo.
Okay, because I feel like Fargo and No Country for Old Men kind of fall under the same category.
Yeah.
So you can kind of keep them at one together.
Yeah.
My first.
Then it's your turn, then I'll do my second.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you. My first, I'm going to go Jurassic Park.
What the? Are you sure?
Bro,
are you sure you
up.
Don't want to timestamp that out of the episode?
Yeah, can we timestamp that?
Jurassic Park? Why?
Was there? Now, you got to think about, I'm not just going for the best movie. I'm going for the impact.
Entertainment. So
this
why?
This movie came on the scene and it was groundbreaking.
You know what? You're right.
It was groundbreaking. Right. We hadn't seen that sort of.
CGI.
Right. And there was only 15 minutes of special effects.
Of like the raptors.
Four or five of which were
raptors
actual CGI.
And the T-Rex and everything.
What he did with the minimal CGI he used. Everyone always talks about how much CGI is in that film. It was only a little bit.
A little bit.
And there's so much fucking suspense.
Who directed that? Do you know?
Steven Spielberg.
Okay, so now that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Steven fucking Spielberg.
Yeah, it's like the Jaws of our generation.
A legend.
The man knows how to build suspense.
Number two for me is Taxi Driver.
I've never seen that.
All right, the front door's right there.
I can't tell where. I don't even think there's
and
a front door
And you call
anymore.
Yourself a fucking New Yorker?
Oh!
And you don't, have you never seen Taxi Driver?
Oh, God, there's a movie you haven't seen?
Deb
hasn't seen it either. You know what else we haven't seen?
You haven't seen it?
We got to wait to get through his whole five and see if it's on the list.
Oh, dude, I have to really like.
What? You know why? Because I lived it. Oh, what? Creepy guy wants to murder me in a cab? I was in New York for 10 years.
Okay, number
I
two
lived
for you.
It.
That's fair enough. Number two for you. Fair enough.
Number two. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which it was going to be called, but it's Willy Wonka. I mean, actually, no, it was going to be called Willy Wonka.
Which one? The one with Gene Wilder?
Yes.
And there's a Gene right there.
I read that. That's
okay.
From here.
Yeah, damn good movie.
I have a quote tattooed on my arm.
Damn good movie.
Classic. Dark.
What do you like about the Oompa Loompas?
The darkness.
The Oompa Loompas?
I liked what Gene did with it, how Gene went dark with it, because the story is dark. If you actually read Ronald Dahl's original book, it's a little bit darker.
Right.
The children are kind of tortured.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they're
they disappear.
And they're in poverty.
They're poor.
They're poor. They're just wanting to get the golden ticket.
Wait. Can I ask you a personal question?
Am I poor?
Yeah. Were you poor? Still?
Look where I live, for God's sake. Of course I'm poor. I have a fucking sleeping bag as a comforter. Yes, I'm poor. I've lived here 18 years.
Doesn't Jeremiah give you any money?
All right. Let's leave that.
Timestamp that.
You got a lot of things to write down.
Timestamp that.
Yeah. I don't need sympathy.
Okay, wait. No, wait. Let me tell you something. I just found out I grew up poor.
Man, this is a horrible episode for me.
Did you hear what I said?
Say it again.
I'm trying to bond with you.
Say
just
it
don't
again.
Touch me because I don't know if you've
I'm
washed.
I'm not. I'm clean, man. I shower, Dial soap, the whole thing. Go ahead. Dial soap. Go ahead.
I grew up poor, too. Okay, number two is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You got to go three.
I love that movie. You
I
know
do too.
When he greets the kids, you know when they're behind the gate, that he does he made some interesting choices.
He did.
You know he and pretended like he was kind of like like disabled or something, but then he like rolled and went like you know what I mean? I like that. That was a choice he made.
Yes, it was a choice he made.
There ain't no Gene Wilders like that
there's
anymore.
No
huh?
Gene
there's no
Wilders.
One like that, huh?
I mean, I could put all his movies in the top 5, especially him and and Richard Pryor. They were so magical.
So
together.
Number three is Stir Crazy. Thanks for bringing that.
I'm gonna go. Yep, I'm
Stir
going.
Stir Crazy, baby.
I'm matching you. Great
Stir
fucking movie.
Stir Crazy. Go watch it today. Very comedic. I mean, there's nothing
it's
like
so
those
physical.
Two.
It's so physical. There's nothing like them.
Oh my god.
Is that
god.
Fuzzy Wuzzy Was a Woman? Is that Stir Crazy? No, that's Hear No Evil. See
yeah,
no Evil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yes. You know, so you've saw the all Jeans movies.
Yes.
Blazing Saddles, yes. All that stuff.
Cisco,
so I get,
the
I guess,
Cisco Kid.
Yeah.
Bonnie and Clyde was his first role.
Okay, so I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, that's with I believe, is it Bridget Bardot or Jane Fonda? Who
she
plays?
Knows her, she knows her shit, huh?
It's
she knows her
Warren
shit?
Beatty. And I can't forget who I forget who the female is.
She's smart, dude.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, she's smart.
Faye Dunaway, maybe.
Okay,
yeah.
Faye Dunaway.
Yep, yep. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so your I'm on. Is it number four for me?
Yep.
Pulp Fiction. I had to throw Pulp Fiction. I had to throw a Tarantino one. I was going to throw Inglourious Basterds in there, but Pulp Fiction, iconic movie.
Yes.
Right, Deb?
Cult classic.
Right?
Yeah. Pretty solid.
Not everyone gives Eric Stoltz props because Eric Stoltz is the heroin dealer. Remember?
Oh, he was so good with the girl.
Tell him who Eric Stoltz is.
Eric Stoltz. Well, I don't know who he is outside of Pulp Fiction, but he plays such a great tweaker. That whole scene was like that was the oh Jesus. There's a fucking DVD. What is this? Okay. Can I hold it? Or
yeah, you could hold it, but that means a lot
to
me.
Wow.
Damn good, John Hughes. Damn good
wow,
movie.
He's got quite a butt crack chin.
He was also in Jerry Maguire. He was in a movie called Mask with Cher. Remember that movie?
Oh, the guy with the elephantitis?
Okay. You don't have to say the technical medical.
Isn't that what it was?
Yeah.
Doesn't
he had
that
the
happen
lion,
to people's
just
nuts?
Say lion. He had the lion face. Just say the lion
face. Lion face is better?
Because he looked like a lion.
But doesn't elephantitis happen to balls too? I've seen it.
Deb?
I've seen it on Google.
Deb, do you agree with her?
Did you agree?
Deb.
Deb.
Deb. What? Think about
Deb,
it.
Deb, no.
Think about it. Okay. Eric Stoltz.
I didn't know he had such a lustrous
career. What a great actor.
I love you had the DVD ready to go.
Eric Stoltz was phenomenal. Still around. Have you seen this movie?
I don't. You know, I'm sure I have. Is it John Hughes?
John Hughes.
Have you seen it? Because it looks like it was the first time you picked it up.
John Hughes.
I'm going to get a mold poisoning from you dusting it off in my face.
Okay. So since you brought up John Hughes, what's your favorite John Hughes movie? And we could end it.
Okay, do you want me to? We don't have to end it because I'm at four. I'm at four. We have to go.
Okay. Because
then we got to go five.
Okay, you go four then.
Do you want my fourth to be John Hughes?
No. You don't have to. I don't want to pressure you like that. Just whatever comes to mind.
You did Pulp Fiction. That was so good. I have to go with my heart, and this is going to be probably, this is going to split the room.
Go ahead.
Ghostbusters, the original.
You know, I can't.
Come on.
I can't argue with
that.
With
Zool?
I can't argue
Rick
with
Moranis
that.
Is a comedic
Dan
genius.
Dan Aykroyd.
Bill Murray.
Oh, my God.
Are you
God.
Kidding me?
Great movie.
Great
now,
movie.
Was that the one with the guy in the painting? He was in
yes.
the.
Yes.
What was the name? Vlad.
Name?
What was his name? Vlad or something? The Impaler. What was his name?
Vlad?
Vigo.
Vigo. Good memory.
Vigo. And the painting came to, like, he that was the arch nemesis ghost.
Yes.
Vigo.
Yep, he was in the painting.
Right.
And Sigourney Weaver was, like, flicking her bean to it.
You know what? I'm glad you brought Sigourney Weaver's name up. Well, let's give her some love. She's OG, too.
She's OG, too. Alien?
Alien.
Wow.
You know what?
That's a great role.
That
in
could
the
be
80s?
On, that could be on anyone's list.
That could be on anyone's
Ridley
list.
Ridley Scott.
I mean, such an epic film. And also, look what happened to that. It turned into such a long franchise.
How many aliens were there?
There's, like, 1,000 of them.
There was one with... Winona Ryder was one
That's
of them.
That's right. That
and
was
then, the she, one where
she was the
inmates.
Bot.
Yeah, and the inmates were in the and then the
with them Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
That
so
was
they
a good
had
one.
Like 5 or 7 of those.
I think they did.
In right?
Alien Resurrection, and then Alien versus Predator.
Right. Aliens 2 was one of my favorites.
Aliens
2 because Bill Paxton was. Bill,
that's
he was
a great sequel.
He was funny.
He was so funny. They really landed it with Aliens 2.
Yeah.
And with those movies, like the sequels, once you start getting into sequels, it gets a little tricky.
Right.
But Alien is a good one.
Do you remember the premise for Alien 3? It's
there was
I'm
an
a
alien,
little foggy on that one.
There was an alien and then an alien came and it ate
alien
people.
Alien 2 was with.
Alien 3 is when they got fucked by the alien.
That's right.
That's very clearly.
And then
the
Alien 2 was when they they went to that planet like and that whatever the mining operation.
What about Prometheus?
Oh, is that a part Does that count?
Prequel.
Does that count?
Absolutely.
So then you have to add that to their
you
whole...
You have to add that to the whole... Right, the to whole the whole...
franchise of aliens.
Yes,
yeah.
You do.
So,
okay, so I... So my four was... What was my fourth? What'd I just say? Did I say something?
Did she say
Ghostbusters.
Something? Ghostbusters.
You're five. You gotta go five. And don't willy-nilly this. Really think about it, because this is where we're really gonna figure out who you are.
There will be blood.
Like tonight? Oh, is this how it ends?
Paul Thomas.
Margaret!
Paul Thomas Anderson, There Will Be Blood, right?
That's a
Daniel
great film.
Day-Lewis, right?
Unreal.
Paul Dano as Eli.
Wonderful.
Damn good flick.
Very good. That's a tough one to beat. That was just, also the way they shot it, the location, how it was just.
Come on, dude.
Basically one location.
Come on. That was a damn good movie. Y'all seen that?
There's.
Wait, what'd you say?
You
Debbie?
Haven't seen it. You like that. You should watch that tonight.
Deb, you haven't seen it.
No. There Will Be Blood is a powerful one, and you know you also your list is pretty solid. You bookended it with pretty solid
right.
films. With
you think so?
Hell yeah! No Country for Old Men, and now you're rounding it up with There Will Be Blood.
Thank you.
Fuck.
Thank you.
How am I even gonna come back?
There's
at you?
No pressure. There's no pressure. Just whatever comes to mind. I thought a great deal about this. I
yeah,
stay up
Jesus,
thinking about stuff like this.
Obviously.
I'm like, what do I like? I could do horror genre. We could do a horror
Ooh,
genre, too.
Horror's my jam.
Okay, let's do
okay,
horror
okay.
next.
No, wait,
let's do
wait.
Horror next.
I know what my number five is. It's
Go
usually
ahead.
My number one.
What?
The Thing, John Carpenter's.
I can't go wrong with that.
Fucking Kurt Russell.
Can't go
Not
wrong
a woman
with
in
that.
The film, but that's okay. We
you
all
know, let's
how
give
John
Kurt,
Carpenter
let's give Kurt Russell
women.
A little, let's give him a little love,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he deserves love. Big Trouble in
Little
China?
Oh, my God.
Escape to L.A.?
Escape to New York.
Escape to New York? Overboard?
Oh, my God.
You want to talk about a comedic duo?
I like Dennis Quaid, too. People
yeah,
don't
Quaid.
Even bring up Dennis fucking Quaid.
Yeah, they need to bring
he,
him up.
He got a lot of work in the 80s.
He sure did.
Like inner, whatever, Inner Space.
Yep.
Dreamscape.
Oh, Dreamscape. That's a deep cut.
That's a good movie.
Damn.
That's a sleeper.
I didn't
they
know
don't
you were
know.
Such a cinephile.
They don't know about that. They don't know about Dreamscape. They don't know about
nerd.
No Dreamscape.
No, they don't.
They don't know about no Dreamscape.
That's a deep cut.
I love these types of things. Can we do top three horror?
Okay, top four.
Because my shit's already here. Go ahead.
No, I want
to
hear
just
yours.
Go boom,
I need,
boom,
I need to
boom.
Know yours. I need to know
Number
yours.
Number one, and this is with, there's no discussion for me, The Exorcist.
Okay.
I mean, The Exorcist.
It is
you
pretty
can't,
classic.
You can't get any scarier, in my opinion. Have you seen The Exorcist?
The sound on that.
Oh, my God. I was going to kick your ass out. I mean, she didn't see Taxi. Go ahead. Go
the
ahead.
Exorcist, like the sound on that film is jarring. The sound engineering, the sound editing,
and just the demonic,
it gets into you.
The possession,
yes.
psychological things.
It's fucked, and the whole, everything with the church.
Yeah,
it was such a, and especially like the time, was it the '70s?
Yeah,
when it came
Georgetown,
out,
Georgetown. It was like taking place in Georgetown.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Have you been to the staircase?
No, I don't think I would
you're
want
not
to.
That much of a fan. It's a great place to kick someone down.
Chelsea, we're just
can you timestamp.
Yeah, time. Yeah, that too. Thank you.
Okay, what's your second?
No,
okay,
you have
okay,
to
okay.
do number one.
Okay, we're spanning genres.
Yeah,
we're just horror is the umbrella.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna go with. This is so hard. We're only doing three. I already did The Thing in the first five, so I'm not gonna do The Thing again.
You can't throw this in the horror genre because you already threw that, and you're all
yeah,
all,
and it's
all
like
around.
Sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know, a newer one. And
you
can
do a newer one, because I'm going to do a newer one, too, for my number two.
Okay.
But go ahead.
So I'm going to go a little bit, well, newer-ish. I'm just going off of the age of the director at the time and what he did with the genre, how he sort of put his own spin on it, which is really hard to do with horror.
Go ahead.
Are you going to throw up in your mouth?
No. I'm waiting, and I'm anticipating this.
Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead.
Ooh, zombie.
With Ty Burnell.
Zombie.
Now,
is
that his name from
oh, now is Dawn
Modern
of the,
Family?
You're right. Is Dawn of the Dead the one that takes place in the shopping mall?
Yes.
Dude.
And he just did his own, he made the zombies run. I think
right.
Zack Snyder is directly responsible for
But that's
for
a remake.
The
Didn't
Walking
they have a,
Dead.
Oh, they had an OG one.
They had an OG
the
one.
The Romero.
Yes.
The Romero
George
one.
George A. Romero.
Yeah. And
yes.
it was in the 80s or 70s
yep.
shopping mall.
Yep.
But that's interesting.
George A. Romero was actually one of the OG
zombie
creators.
Dudes. Right,
yes.
right.
And he worked a lot with Tom Savini, who's been in the industry for a really long time as a special effects guy.
How does
he's
know
responsible
so much about
for
zombie movies?
I'll tell you my next one. I'll tell you what he's responsible
okay, so
for.
Okay, so you said you, because you kind of sparked some thoughts here as far as like, because I don't want to go all 70s, 80s.
You go wherever you want to go.
I want to go. Okay, no,
house.
I want to bring it modern because I've watched this from time to time every couple months. Hereditary.
I don't know if any woman is given a better performance in sheer terror the way Toni Collette did.
She's been good the whole time. Yeah, remember her in Sixth Sense?
Oh, fuck. She's been
good. She was just compelling performance.
She is a compelling performer.
Great
really
actress.
Is. Yes.
Great.
And the son in
the guy with the mole?
When he hits his head? You know, he actually...
Handsome. Dude, what's his name? Handsome man.
I don't remember his... He's got... What is it? Nat Wolff.
Yeah, handsome.
He broke his jaw in the scene where he was smacking his head on the desk.
Really? So he committed that much to
his
performance?
Jaw. Yes.
In the classroom?
Yep. Remember that scene? How fucking terrible. And his face was all distorted.
Yeah, he did that. Oh, when he looked at the reflection in the side.
Yes.
And, yeah.
That
scene,
he dislocated his
jaw. And that's when Paimon was like about to take over his soul.
Yes.
Oh, Paimon, yeah.
You know, what's that director's who did Hereditary? Because he's got a couple films under his belt. What is it? Midsommar.
Can you look that up real quick?
It's Lars.
Jeffrey, is it Jeffrey?
It's a Swedish director.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to, you know what?
Wait, yeah, because that's going to drive me crazy. I won't be able to sleep tonight unless we find that. Can you find that out real quick? Yeah, because that's going to drive me crazy.
See, that's where I go.
What?
Patrick Anderson.
Are you sure?
No, that's not it.
Just say like Hereditary. Just type in Hereditary.
And Hereditary is your number two, right?
Ari Aster.
Hereditary is your second?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Midsommar. It fucked me up.
You know what?
Midsommar really
what,
hurt
dude,
my
that
soul.
That was a good one, too.
That really, it was...
Something about that, it's just...
Something new.
It's not only that, it's like the breakup aspect of it. Mm-hmm. She was in a vulnerable kind of really downtime in her life.
Yeah.
And just her... Like it was almost like prophesized that she was supposed to go to that festival.
It was very prophesized.
Yeah.
Well, she was definitely chosen by her boyfriend's friend.
That the Swedish dude, the
yes.
homie the, with the long hair,
the
one that invited
so
them.
Sweet. Yeah,
but
he's
he
like,
wasn't,
hey,
was
no.
he?
It was he. She was fulfilling the prophecy of the village.
You know
they
what?
Needed.
You know what scene kind of stuck out is in the middle in the movie when that dude took a piss on that sacred tree.
Oh God.
And I'm like, oh, they really, like, abide by these rules. And you know what I mean? Like, as far as their set rules, as far as their religion. And
yes.
There's one scene that, with the cliff,
oh, my God, with the elders?
Yeah.
That gore.
Oh.
See, gore is really hard. I think gore is the one area that sort of has evolved the slowest.
Yeah.
In cinematography.
Yeah.
It's hard to make gore new because mm-hmm. it's just gore. So when you see a movie like Midsommar, I feel like they've really found their own niche with it because of the way they filmed it,
yeah.
The way like the director of photography shot it,
oh my
and
God.
How fucking visceral it that's what it hurt my soul.
It
like,
was almost like a horrific Alice in Wonderland. Like,
it was so horrific
because it was like all the shots were during the daytime.
Yep.
There were some night shots when that guy snuck into the little cathedral for the to take pictures.
Yep.
Of thing. But
all the horror was in the
but
day.
But the there was a drug, the drug aspect, like the hallucinogenic.
Right.
You know, because they took shrooms
right,
on the way
all...
in. Didn't they take shrooms?
Yeah, it's Midsommar. We're just chilling. We have flowers
and
on our crown.
During the daytime.
Yeah, they're
but
tripping
then
out.
That drink, didn't they, before their ceremonies,
yes,
they
had
they
a ceremonial
that,
tea.
What? That was like ayahuasca or some
yep.
shit like that,
yep.
right?
I believe it was. That's
yeah.
what I thought. I don't know if they ever like... named it something.
No, but it did something to them.
It was
where
definitely
they were
psychoactive.
Out. They were tripping out.
Right, because they were doing the dance. Remember the dance?
Oh, yeah.
That was the ceremonial dance
the
for
circle,
the girl.
The circle, yeah. And, they were,
and that's
yeah,
how she's chosen as
she was
the queen.
The last one standing.
She's the spring queen.
Right.
That's how they choose her, right?
Got
the
it.
May queen? I forget
yeah.
what they call her.
But that was a ceremonial thing mm-hmm. they did, whatever, whenever that festival took place. Now, what do you think about, like, even the way... the dude was groomed the way she would put her pubic hair in the food. It was like, you know what I mean?
It was like witches.
Yeah, it was like some witchcraft stuff.
In that scene where he is penetrating the girl when they're fucking. Oh my God, your shoe just fell off. Usually, is this when the clothes start coming off?
No.
Is this a striptease portion of the show?
Did you just do a spell in here to make?
Yeah,
my,
I did. I did. You're my Midsommar prince.
Did you
just wait to see what else? Did you do a spell?
You got a
haunted piano over
there. Is
there
pubic hair in this orange drink?
You drink it yourself. You're the one trying to get me to drink, Bill Cosby.
No. Will you timestamp that, please? Thank you. We're trying to make this PG. Okay, let's go. So it's number three on.
So we both have same director.
Midsommar was
two.
A damn good movie.
Damn good I mean, one. That's, and I loved Hereditary.
You know why I like his movies? Because you can rewatch them and then get something different out of them. Like
absolutely.
There's stuff in Hereditary, like the there's writing in the bedroom or the scene where she's in the
yes,
she's
I just
in,
got chills.
Like a spider.
Yeah.
In the corner. Yeah. Like the corner of the room, it's dark. In the movie theater, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Because
so
the lighting was kind of off. Mm-hmm. But then I knew I missed something because the theater's response was they're like, oh. And I'm like, huh? Like, what? And then.
You're like, what is it?
Yeah, but then I caught it when she did the spider walk.
Ugh.
You know, like the spider
yes,
walk on the
creepy.
Side of the room out of the yep. son's room. Yeah, but. Damn good director. He's really unique.
Atmospheric.
Yeah.
The way he shoots his scenes are so atmospheric.
Really, he's
and
good.
And the tone he uses, like, think about Hereditary, the tone of the film, the color toning versus
yeah.
Midsommar. So different.
Different. Way different.
So different.
Let's. What about the sound design? The soundtrack.
I mean. It's like.
Good luck.
It's magic.
Good luck falling asleep to that.
There's Hereditary?
Yeah, Hereditary.
That got into my bones.
Ooh,
no. Oh,
you know,
no.
Like,
no. Because it's not anything you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Your mind can't make sense of it.
It's unsettling.
It's jarring. It's my favorite
yeah.
word.
So definitely, if you haven't watched that, really pay attention to this one. You don't want to miss the details of
yeah.
this. Because that there was a lot of setup with that.
There was a lot
that
of
That was
setup.
A whole setup.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing was a setup.
It was so
planned.
Much suspense.
It was planned. The
right.
whole thing was planned on their part. I didn't like the ending.
The ending confused me. The ending felt like an opening.
You know, when she was propelled like, in the attic. You know, it's like... Because Paimon, this demon entity... That needed to take place because you needed like three beheadings, right? Because he
to get this, to,
yeah,
for it, because, to, for it to be completed.
Yeah, for it to be completed,
right.
The whole ceremony because he wanted that. He needed beheadings, like three, right?
Yeah,
I
think so.
It was the Tony's mom,
right?
It was
the dad,
Charlie.
Oh,
the kid,
right,
and then the mom. So
that's
those,
right, because Charlie did it himself. I forgot.
No. Charlie did that. Remember when she ate the chocolate cake with the nuts in it,
mm-hmm.
and then they're driving home,
ugh.
And then there was a symbol on
the
pole. Yeah, so that was prophesized. That was
yep.
meant to happen. But then they beheaded Charlie's head because at the end of the movie, Charlie's head's on the shrine.
That's right.
Do you remember?
But
the
are
head...
the elders in that treehouse? Spoiler alert. Are they, isn't that, didn't it feel like it kind of led into Midsommar a little bit?
Wait, what are you implying?
At the
implying?
End of Hereditary.
What are you implying, that the movies are connected?
I think the movies, there's some thread. If you watch the end of Hereditary again and rewatch Midsommar,
yeah.
it feels like it leads into it. And this is
That's
just speculation on my
That's
end.
That's interesting.
But you think about the ceremonial aspect of it, and didn't you think that end scene... Almost was...
Wait, which one? A Midsommar?
Of Hereditary.
Okay.
Didn't it feel almost out of place? Didn't it feel a little out of left field? It felt so stylized.
Yeah.
Everything else took place in this modern world, in their house, and then we're in this...
In the fun house, in the clubhouse.
Right.
Or, yeah, the treehouse.
Right.
What was unsettling was Toni Collette's body floating up to the...
Oh, God. Oof. That
floating,
was so cool.
Like, floating
that
up to
cool
the clubhouse.
That was a cool little... Yeah.
You know what? I didn't even think of it that way because I try to separate the two. But if you're saying there's a connection, that's genius.
I think
for,
there might be.
That'd be genius for the director team
it
to
would.
Make that connection.
And to do a trilogy, like to add to do something
so
else.
I'm just kind of confused. Like, where are the connections? Are you saying that there's similarities because of the
well,
ceremonial aspects
well,
of it?
Well, think about, I only think, okay, the village in Midsommar.
Yeah.
Who started the village? How did the village get created? How did the ethos of their existence, how did that come to be?
That I don't know, but they're two different religions. I mean, those were two different religions, right? This one, they're paying homage to a demon entity named Paimon.
Right.
The other one was some Swedish old school religion.
But how do we know Paimon isn't a part of...
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, like maybe there's deities and entities that they pray to that we don't even know about because we couldn't get it all in one hour and a half long movie. But think about the end of Midsommar. There was some symbolism.
There
was symbolism in that in the burning.
Yeah, there were symbols.
In the bear.
Yeah, yeah. I don't
and
know.
And the way they set the men had to offer themselves. There was an offering at the end.
similar to Hereditary.
Similar to the end of Hereditary. There were these like sacrificial symbols.
If anything, if it wasn't directly, literally like correlated, it's damn similar.
It's similar as far as this.
But maybe that's the director's style.
Yeah, what happened to his childhood?
I know.
I mean, that imagination. Okay, well, you got to do three. You got to do your third.
Okay, my third is Omen, the original Omen.
Wow.
The original.
That's a fucking... Damien!
Oh, the nanny. Damien. Yeah.
This is for you. What does she say?
This is for you, Damien. It's all for you.
And she fucking tumbles.
She sacrificed herself.
Bye.
Do you remember that movie?
I wouldn't even sacrifice myself for my own niece and nephew.
Have you seen Damien 2, Omen 2, when he's a teenager and he discovers, it's self-discovery, he realizes he's the Antichrist or the son of Satan? Do you remember that?
I've seen every, from terrible horror movies to great ones.
But you remember that? The second one.
I do remember the second one. Do you remember the one with
the final...
What's her name? From fucking 10 Things I Hate About You. And yes, Julia Stiles was in a...
Is that the remake? That was a remake?
It was a remake of The Omen. It wasn't too terrible. Yeah. Wait. This isn't my number three, but did you see The Orphan?
No.
You haven't seen The Orphan? No. I'm so excited for you. Oh, I'm so jealous.
Write down The Orphan.
Yo.
Is it from where? What?
It's an American.
But what year?
2006, 7.
Have you seen it?
No, but I heard it's so good.
It's so well done.
What's it about?
I can't tell you. It's about an orphan. That's all you need to know.
It's not called Orphanage?
No.
It's called The Orphan.
The Orphan. It's so cool. It's such a cool.
What does the poster look like? Is it a young?
It's a little girl. It's a photo of me because both of my parents are dead. No, it's a little girl. It's a little girl.
I think, you know what? I think I did. I have seen that. She has brown hair on the cover with pigtails. Orphan.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's been so long. I forgot. What
I can't remember the couple that was. Yes.
Yeah. See, I was right.
That's it. Vera. Who are the two? Who's the wife and the husband in that? Is it Vera Famiglia? Yeah. It is? Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's your number three.
No, my number three. You want my number three?
Yeah.
One of the movies that. I don't know if I could ever watch it again. I had to stop it three times because I almost had a panic attack watching it. And it has stuck with me on a visceral level. I think this director understands women's fears, and I don't know how he understands them so well because he's a man and he's also non-American. So I don't understand how he knows my fears so well. Mm-hmm. It's called The Antichrist, Lars von Trier.
When was that?
It's a deep cut. This is like art house horror.
Is that in the 70s?
2000. I don't know. Maybe 2005. It's with Willem Dafoe.
Oh, I love Willem Dafoe.
And yeah. That French actress. I love her name. I love her. She's been in a couple of his films. She was in Nymphomaniac. Did you ever see Nymphomaniac? No. Does anybody know? Do you know her name, Deb? It's called The Antichrist by Lars von Trier.
What is that? A possession, demonic, or like?
I don't even know what genre you'd put this in. Psychological thriller. What's her name? Charlotte. Yeah, Gainsbourg? Yeah. Charlotte Gainsbourg. Gainsbourg. So good. And William Dafoe.
Can you summarize it just real quick? Like, what's it about? Is it about someone that gets possessed?
No, it's about.
Or is it literal? It's about the Antichrist.
It's kind of. It's literal in the sense of the Antichrist being a metaphor for something.
Right. Oh, it's metaphorical?
It's metaphorical of what the Antichrist is.
Is it about who's the main?
It's about some like a woman's fears becoming almost a demonic possession. Like, you know how you can become... Your fears can control you so much just as a human being. And it debilitates you.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a woman's fear monster personified and coming to life in different ways. And the ending is just so brutal.
Did she get possessed?
No, there's no possession.
There's no possession.
It's such an interesting film. It's definitely not. It doesn't follow like the American tropes that we have in our films. It doesn't follow like the way films have a first, second, and third act. It's right. its own
thing,
style.
Yeah,
and you get so engrossed because it's just these two actors.
So why the title Antichrist? The Antichrist.
I can't tell you.
How does that? What is? How does that play into the story?
I can't tell you without that, ruining.
That'll ruin it.
Mm-hmm. You have to watch it all.
So is it one
end.
Of those M. Night Shyamalan things that you have to wait till the end, then you're like, oh, I got it now.
Not necessarily M. Night Shyamalan, because, you know, those don't always pay off. I do love his movies. I watch them all.
Don't talk down on him.
I respect him.
Don't talk down on him.
I respect him.
Signs was a damn good
movie.
Signs
was one of my favorite movies.
Damn good movie.
Signs was so amazing.
Don't talk down on him. Old was... Old.
Old was...
Oof. Old was... Yeah.
Old was confusing.
Yeah.
Old could have been done really well.
Science, Sixth Sense was bomb.
Sixth Sense, one of the greatest. Even Unbreakable.
Bomb.
The Happening? What, it's just a fart cloud?
So.
What is it, just a giant fart cloud?
I'll choose The Village over that.
In The Village.
Because the ending, you're like, oh.
How bad did you want it to be a creature? How
bad.
Fucking bad?
Bad. But you get the payoff at
but
the
it
end.
But it was a cool concept.
Yeah, I did.
Lady
I like
in
it.
The Water?
Ooh, that's another.
But he made that film for his daughter. It was
okay,
like about,
I'll give him that then. I'll
and
throw him
it. Got,
my number one, I love Signs and Unbreakable.
Is so good.
Signs and Unbreakable.
But I
those
fucking are... love Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, damn
I'd
good actor.
I'd see him in anything.
Yeah, he's
I
good.
I really would.
Is he an East Coast? I feel like he's an East Coast.
He's no? got he's got
East
Coast
vibes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't
dude,
know we
look,
loved...
look at the time. Look at the time. We didn't even, can we get back to your comedy and like promoting your comedy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so... Because look at the time. We on our last 10 minutes.
Where? Okay, so
five, ten
where
minutes.
Am I going to be?
The last the last question I asked you was, I think, New York, when you started comedy.
I started.
In the Bringer Rooms.
Yeah.
Let's fast forward to now.
Okay.
You did all that.
Yeah.
Paid your dues.
Yeah.
Got your own fan base. Got representation. Now you're in L.A. Where can people see you?
Outside of Brad Pitt's house waiting for him to fall in love.
I mean,
no, I'm going to be at 4:20. I'm going to be at the West Palm Beach Improv.
Do you smoke?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
We're going to hotbox
okay,
that bitch.
Okay.
4:20 at the
out
West
of my
Palm
own
Beach
curiosity,
Improv.
Could you function and do your comedy high?
If it's a part of the show, yeah. For like 4:20, I could do that. But I don't like to be high or
doing
drunk doing stand-up. I want to be connected. Yeah.
So
I
afterwards,
like to be sober.
Afterwards you do it.
Yeah, I have a little scoochie. Little
you can do that. You'll
yeah,
smoke
yeah,
a little
yeah.
joint.
A little
like,
wine, a little
okay,
scoochie-mooch. Yeah.
But not before or during.
No, because it doesn't work for me. I don't like it. It doesn't keep me clear. I'm clearer and more present and funnier when I'm
when
just...
When you're sober.
Yeah, I might have like a little tequila, but it's no good...
Not smashed.
There's a fine line between it being something that helps or inhibits you.
Right.
For me, from a performative standpoint.
That's interesting. Can you write? How about this? Can you write?
Hell yeah. That's when it's fun. When you're stoned and getting a little loopy.
Then you can write.
I think of ideas.
You think of things.
Yeah.
And then you write.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Interesting. I was just curious about that.
Yeah.
Because I know that's more of a common thing nowadays. Comedians who smoke. You know, it's more accepted.
It is.
It's legal everywhere.
Hell
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then May the 4th be with you. May 4th, I'm going to be at the Netflix is a Joke Festival at the Bourbon Room here in Los Angeles.
That's a big deal. Okay,
I'm excited.
Who else is on that lineup?
Matt Rife, Katie Cazorla, my girl Kalia McNeil, and my homie Justin Martindale.
So there's only a select few.
Yeah, there's like five of us.
How much are tickets?
$1,000 a ticket. Thank you.
Where could they purchase the tickets?
JessieMae.com.
Now, do you have a website as well where you
JessieMae.com.
JessieMae.com. Can you spell it out for some of my listeners and viewers?
JessieMae.com.
And do you offer merch as far as t-shirts?
We're having our merch store be rebuilt just now. Yeah. So
okay.
Merch will be available probably
when?
The beginning of the summer.
Are you happy with all this stuff, Deb? Like
yeah.
what we're doing
Deb
here?
Has every
Are,
piece.
Do you like what we're doing right now?
She steals all my merch.
You like how we're plugging it and everything?
Yeah. She's
okay.
happy I actually got dates
so,
right.
So what if, what was that?
Oh yeah! Oh my God! I have dates this weekend. I don't know when this goes.
This
up.
Is coming out next week.
Okay, perfect. We don't have to worry about those.
Okay. Is there anything else? Oh, what about your? Are you working on a special or anything like
I
that?
I am currently.
Go ahead. When's
I'm working on a special right now. It should be coming out. I don't know when because it depends on when everything's edited and done. But we are currently working on a comedy special. My first special.
How close are that's an,
we dude, just started. Everything just started. Deb was actually taking a little bit.
Deb, is she?
We're going to be sending you a
some work done?
Production release. You're going to have to
okay,
sign
Okay, so Netflix, definitely look out for the homie
yes.
right here and put it out. Would yes. you want it on Netflix? Like, where would you want it put out?
I don't know. You know, I wouldn't mind YouTube. I wouldn't what? Mind Netflix. I just want it out.
You do?
Yeah, it's not for a money
Hulu?
Thing for me.
Hulu?
Fuck that. No, I'm kidding. Can you imagine? I'm like, anywhere. Fuck
anywhere,
Hulu.
Anywhere.
No, yeah, yeah.
An hour? Half hour? Hour?
No.
What are we looking at?
A little deconstructed. Not like your traditional stand-up special.
It's not going to
it's
be.
It's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff.
Like vlogging and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, like what it takes to build a special. What a special, preparing for a special looks like.
And you're capturing all that?
Yeah.
Behind the scenes?
Yeah, we just captured the raccoons and the poop. So that'll be in.
So you're like 85-90% done with that. You're close. You really enjoy that sparkling water. I'll grab you one for the road. So is there anything else? Did we miss something?
I think she got the shows and everything. I think I got the shows
what
right.
What about if someone wants to
finger me, they'd have to ask and take me to a nice steak and lobster dinner.
Okay.
Timestamp that.
What about if someone wants to book you? Who do they go through?
There's a contact on my Instagram page.
On your Linktree?
They can email me directly.
On your Linktree?
On my Linktree! So look at you knowing the terms.
I have to know
that's
all this
really
stuff.
Smart. So Linktree's
Linktree,
great.
Linktree. Click on her Instagram, and your Instagram is, go ahead.
It's Jessie Mae Peluso.
Jessie Mae.
Yeah.
P-E-L.
No, that was bad. That was, he didn't spell it right.
Jessie Mae.
Fuck you,
Peluso.
Just Google Jessie Mae comedian. I'm the only one.
All right.
I'm like the share of comedy.
So many timestamps in this. So many
You
timestamps.
Are so cute. I can't handle it.
So many. What did you say, Deb?
She said she knows. I said I'm cute, and she affirmed
I'm dating
it.
Now. I'm dating someone on
these. Deb, stop coming on so hot. Yeah. Jeez, sorry.
I love you. I'll grab you a Red Bull, whatever you need. When for you guys' way out, okay? Was that easy?
What?
Was that
Hanging
an easy interview? Was that an easy
it was
interview?
Awesome.
It was just
it went,
a walk in the park.
I can't believe it was an hour. It
a
felt
walk
like,
in the park. I love talking about movies. I could do that.
I
for
could.
5 hours.
You
could
don't
do.
Smoke weed, do you?
No.
Fuck.
But I used to every day. Blunts were my thing.
Really?
Wow. I would get the Ultimos.
Wow. Ooh. Maybe you could be the sober version. I'll smoke.
I'm not against
Can
it.
Can you be around people smoking? Or do you prefer not to?
I mean, if it's like a hot box, no. Like if I'm in a car and there's blunt smoke and I'm like, but I could be around like people who are smoking.
Maybe we should do, once my platform's studio is open, we should do a BAM. I do bong and movie.
Okay.
Where I get stoned and watch a movie. We could do that together. Maybe we could do a horror film together.
Yeah, or like a review.
Yeah, like a review.
Yeah,
like
I'm down
talk
for it.
Over
I'm
it.
A fan of all that. I buy
that
movies.
That would be so fun.
So let me put this out there. If you go to iTunes, they have a $4.99 deal for $5 movies. I go there every week. Dude, I have a whole collection now of stuff that I've just bought for $4.99.
Do they have a good catalog?
I bought Hereditary for that
shit,
amount. It
that's
was on
pretty
sale.
Good.
It was on sale one of the weeks.
Yeah.
I bought Sixth Sense, Inglourious Basterds,
Those
Jerry
are classics.
Maguire.
Yeah.
You name it. Misery. That was a good one.
Fuck.
Misery.
Stephen
yeah.
King. We didn't
Stephen
even get
King
into that
Misery.
Shit.
Yeah. So thanks for tuning
thanks
in.
Thanks for having me.
I don't have anything to read off. I have to go by memory.
You got it.
Go to patreon.com/Stevie Weeby if you want to help support the podcast. Scissor Bros. We drop those episodes every Friday. We have live events coming up too as well. Instagram/QUANGOU, StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. Am I missing something? Oh, P.O. Box, thank you.
Send him money. He needs another, what do you call this thing? He needs another sleeping bag for when a lady or fella comes over. I don't know what you're into. I don't want to assume. Assuming gets people canceled.
Right there.
We got to timestamp that.
Cancel that. Cancel that one out there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I thought you and I were the most fun.
Okay, P.O. Box. If you want to send any packages or whatever mail, 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. Did we miss something?
Oh, it's right there on the fucking
wall.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was wondering if you were looking at.
Because I forget about stuff. And we made an hour.
We did it. Dude. What do they send to your P.O. Box? Money?
no money, mail, stickers, t-shirts, stuff like that, posters,
become
books.
A Patreon.
Yeah, become a patron
support
today.
Support the Patreon.
Thank you.
Support the arts.
And subscribe to Scissor Bros as well today.
Love Jeremiah.
Isn't he the best?
He is.
We all got...
And Sharp Tongue. Yeah.
Sharp Tongue Podcast. Yes. Subscribe today. Go ahead.
Subscribe today.
Where?
At the podcast store.
On our Linktree, on our Instagram.
Yeah, and the Deuce Podcast and Girl Podcast. And tell your dad, if he's rich and single, that I'm here for him.
Go to her Linktree and then click on that.
Yeah, and then I'll climb up your dad's tree.
Okay.
Well, not your dad. He's dead. I'm sorry. Is it too soon?
My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crip. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip was so full of angst. Him and Henry Woodward Peckers did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the West, you can. You're the best on the land to bless the sands. Do the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling still crazy, maintaining against the grain. Making me wanna get in a plane. The pain inside my brain never ends, sustained. I'm down for the count on the ground. Today, don't give it away, the peace and the praise, the rays. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of frowns delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed, live this way, can deal with shade. A spade is a spade, he made the greatest blade in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal, a male. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female. Today.